There are a few phrases and terms that I want to introduce into your vernacular. I want to see these words used in American lexicon as people talk about the events that are going on in the world around us. And the phrase, the term that I want to use today and introduce to you is an ideological casualty. It could also be referred to, maybe a better choice would be intellectual casualty. And it stems from the state of the world that we are in and an observation of what happens to people when their ability to evaluate information is damaged. Now, the term casualty, where's this coming out of and why are you listening to the Redacted Culture Cast? The objective of this show is to equip you with the intellectual tools necessary to survive the world that we live in, not only survive, but to achieve, to a challenge, to accomplish. In fact, we are living in a day and age where there is a war that might, one might say that there is a war being waged against you. However, that even the way that that language is used can lead you to becoming what we are about to talk about today. So the Redacted Culture Cast, my background in special operations, private contracting, philosophy and theology and education in that sense, is a presentation to you of the fusion of the life of the mind and the will of the soldier. Many of us have heard of, not Thucydides, is it Thucydides' trap or whatever, the very famous line of a culture or a people that separate their fighters from their thinkers will have their wars fought by fools and their thinking done by cowards. Yes, I understand that the criticism is made, but how many people say that and then refuse or neglect one of those two sides? It's not good enough to point out that a person needs to have both access to the life of the mind and discipline of the body. What happens when that person is neither disciplined nor pursues intelligence? And so instead of virtue signaling our tactical stupidity here, we're going to talk about how we may actually look at the world and build an intellectual capability involving the concepts of violence and justice and so forth. So, intellectual casualty, what does this mean to you? Why would we introduce this word? Well, a casualty is not a really complicated concept. A casualty is anybody who has been wounded or injured or taken out of capability of fighting, death, in a wartime environment or a battlefield, or it is a statistic. It is when a person is no longer rendered incapable of being a combatant by injury. And so an intellectual casualty in this sense is somebody who has received a form of a wound that now renders them incapable of participating in the intellectual side of our current conflict. Why do I use the word casualty specifically? Because it is important to understand that most people can heal from these wounds, but a person whose intellectual faculty has been damaged through ideology, through propaganda, or through essentially being captured by a bad argument or consumed by something that we would usually refer to as a conspiracy theory, this person has been disabled from participating rationally in a battleground of ideas. Now, on the surface level, in our physical meat space, as you call it, we oftentimes engage in forms of conflict, although most of us here in the West are outside of that world. We are not engaging in violence. We are not under that threat very often. However, the West is certainly the West is certainly being threatened intellectually and ideologically by people who demand that you be peaceful while having no intention of being peaceful themselves. We can use these examples in many different ways, but you look at exactly how 2020 and 2021 played out, where in 2020, the very same people who praised the violent burning of cities now and completely obscured it as if it was some sort of peaceful protest, referred to whatever happened on January 6th as a violent insurrection. They want you to be peaceful with no intention of being peaceful themselves. And this is a mindset, an understanding that you must be able to comprehend. That just because a person claims to be in support of a value does not mean that in fact they support that value. Look at the farce or whatever. One does not need to look any further than something like Black Lives Matter. They claim in the title that Black Lives Matter, but they turn a blind eye to the plight of their own quote-unquote people at every opportunity they can, choosing to build mansions and buy beachfront property instead of concern themselves with the well-being of their community. They speak one thing and do another. And so an ideological casualty, or an intellectual casualty in this case, needs to be somebody who is rendered incapable of observing what is going on around them. They are rendered incapable of engaging in not the culture war, but in the battleground of ideas. They are made incapable of assessing whether a person is a honest or dishonest interlocutor. And these casualties can come in different forms. And I'll use one that's closer to home for many of us, and that is this idea of the conspiracy theory. Now, a conspiracy theory is a word that gets thrown around a lot and indefinitely gets attached to certain people that then are given a bad connotation or given a bad motive or given some sort of negative approach to it. But a conspiracy theory is really just the fusion of two things. One, there is a theory, that is, it is a potential explanation of something, and a conspiracy, this idea that people conspired together to do a thing. Now, why do we use the word conspiracy theory so wrong so often? Because we have used it, turned it into a form of a missile or a cudgel by which to beat our intellectual opponents over the head. Oh, that's just crazy talk. That's a conspiracy theory. But if you were to engage in this subject in any sort with any sort of intellectual integrity, you would recognize that it doesn't matter who's talking about it. It's a bunch of nonsense to begin with, because at the end of the day, people don't believe in conspiracy theories because they think they're true. People believe in conspiracy theories because it gives them a certain moral feeling, a certain feeling of being able to rationalize the world and understand it. It gives order where there is chaos. It gives explanation where explanation is demanded. But it's not approached in a pseudo-scientific method or even in a scientific method. It is approached, typically believed, because a person has a missing sense of identity or a missing sense of purpose or a missing sense of meaning. And they fill that with a worldview that breaks people up into the oppressors and the oppressed and the Jedi and the Sith and the Illuminati and the people and the whatever. And so it's not necessarily that somebody believes that because they think it's rational. They believe it because it gives them a sense of purpose. And this person who believes these things can rather quickly be identified in some cases, but should be seen not as a foolish person that's just whatever, but rather as an ideological casualty, somebody who has suffered intellectual injuries to the extent that they are no longer, or they are not engaging with the information they observe rationally. A casualty is somebody that we want to see healed. Whereas, you know, an opponent or a zero or a somebody to be dismissed or you know, the whatever you want to call about it is something else. I want to be able to inflict intellectual casualties on my opponents so that they will not be capable of operating rationally in a conflict that we are in. But I want to make sure that those who I know who are in our community, when they are inflicted with an intellectual injury of this sort, that when they become an intellectual casualty, that they can heal, that there can be a pathway, not to redemption, but to healing. Because I want to see my people succeed. I want to see my friends and community and culture succeed. And so that in itself describes what we are talking about, or not describes, it describes maybe presents the motive behind it, but let's break down into what these intellectual injuries can look like. One of them is a form of obsession, is a person becomes obsessed with a very specific odd explanation for the way things are, which are immediately followed up with no action. So if I discover, like, let's example, that if I'm a parent and my student is attending a school and I discover that one of the people on that school board is a pedophile that is looking to prey on children, a person becomes an intellectual casualty when they come to believe that to be true, but continue to leave their child as a student in that school. Because to them, it is more important to be correct about their diagnosis of a person than it is to protect their child. In this sense, the person has become an ideological casualty because they are not functioning rationally. If I were to discover that the coach in my child's sports game thing that they play is a pedophile, I would not continue to keep my child playing that sport under that coach. If I wasn't able to remove them from their position, then I would at least immediately remove my child from that person's proximity. And so this is an example of an intellectual injury where we theorize that something is an explanation, but that explanation requires no action of us. A person who is experiencing or has received this type of injury and has become a casualty in this sense is not functioning in a meaningful or success or capable way in the world that I live in. And if I consider him part of my community, I would want to see that injury remedied. And sometimes it can come in the case of arguments or rhetoric, and sometimes it can come through support and encouragement, and sometimes it can come through intervention and taking care of one another. But I don't want to get quite yet into the idea of what it looks like to help somebody else heal from this kind of being this kind of casualty. So when I refer to a person as a being an intellectual casualty in the form of a conspiracy theorist, what I am saying is that they believe that the world is oriented and they espouse a worldview that they do not follow. Let me rephrase that. A person who is engaged in or has become an ideological or intellectual casualty in the form of a conspiracy theory is somebody who espouses and talks about the world under a specific worldview that they do not live according to. Particularly, they have organized or reordered the world into different ontological groups of people, and that they have identified evil but have no intention of remedying that evil in their environment. A conspiracy theorist only needs you to agree with them. They don't expect any form of action. We need to get together. We need to band together. We need to fight against the Illuminati. They are out there to control you. Everything is explained through a negative argument that, oh, well, that's just what they want you to believe, or that is because they hid it, and you run into this intellectual problem because everything cannot be explained away by hiding it. They're doing it. You cannot explain all of human history in the way that, like, the 1619 Project reorganizes the world into a hallucinatory, self-masturbating, destructive path of thinking of the world in such a way that the evil is so prevalent that one just has to become woke enough to fight against it. It's absurd. But in our worldview, and what we encounter in the sense of maybe a foil, a trick, a deception, is that we want one another to be capable of observing deceptions where they exist. What is another example of an intellectual casualty? Another form of intellectual casualty would be something like, well, I guess what we saw recently. Okay, so the Taylor Swift issue fits into the kind of conspiracy theory one. Is it like it's an obsession about a certain explanation of things that has no consequences for the individual, except for that you believe that it's a farce? That's one. Another type of intellectual injury is to be convinced or to operate in such a way where you treat dishonest interlocutors as honest interlocutors. In other words, when a person lies to you, you make room for their lie, and that it, as a method of trying to justify it. In other words, you're trying to win in a battle that should be fought with a sword or a gun with an idea. Yes, we are not. You are not the main character of every anime story that has ever existed. What I'm saying is that different problems need to be solved with appropriate solutions. A person, if you believe, or a form of becoming an intellectual casualty is to become incapable of discerning between honest and dishonest interlocutors, honest and dishonest conversations. I can have a debate with somebody who agrees to the rules of the debate, but if they do not agree to the rules of the debate, then I cannot have a debate with them. A person who presents himself as an intellectual, using that as a method of worming their way into intellectual circles, then using, or it's like a form of entryism. I'm making this way too complicated. A person suffers from an intellectual casualty when they are incapable of discerning that an individual is only seeking access to the table for the purpose of flipping the table. For example, the gun control conversation is a really good one. It was a number of years ago, the CDC said that it wanted to invite gun owners to the table to talk about gun control, which is funny because the CDC does not have the table. They are not welcome at the table, but they're imposing that we could have a gentlemanly conversation, me, the American, and them, the American firearms owner, and them, the CDC, could have a fair and honest conversation between us, but they're inviting you to the table by lying to you, saying that they have a right to invite you to the table whatsoever. The problem is, they don't have a seat at it themselves. I cannot invite you to a table that I do not have a seat at myself. In the same way, you saw this happen recently with the Tucker Carlson conversation, where Tucker Carlson interviewed Vladimir Putin, and people accused Tucker of being a traitor for merely interviewing Vladimir Putin. A person who accuses Tucker Carlson of being a traitor of the American government, the American people, for interviewing the president of Russia, who we are sort of kind of at war with right now, the person who says that, who accuses Tucker of being a traitor for his actions, is a person who is telling you that ideas do not matter to them. They are telling you that they do not care about thought, they do not care about morality or intelligence. To them, their format of morality is whatever butters their bread. They do not believe in ideas. So if you try to engage with them with ideas, then what you are doing is you are engaging with somebody about a subject that they don't believe in. This is why there are times when we need to have a debate about, say, the right to bear arms, and there are times when we do not. You do not debate somebody when they are threatening your life with violence. So if somebody goes on Twitter and they threaten to do violence upon you, the appropriate response would be to acknowledge that that is an attempt, or that is a threat of violence, and then categorize it and report it to the appropriate authorities. This person committed an attempt, or this person claimed to attempt violence. And if they're ever in your, they claimed to want to attack you. So that is what, these are two examples of intellectual casualties. People who do not have the ability to evaluate information because of a wound. Now we want to see these people healed. A person who is ideologically captured by a conspiracy theory can recover from it. And the way that a person recovers from that is exercising focus on subjects that they can have influence in. A person becomes an intellectual casualty when they are demoralized by living in a system that does not have checks and balances or does not have cause and effect. Many Americans have been demoralized into thinking that they have no influence or power over what happens in their immediate environment. A person becomes an intellectual casualty by being demoralized by not the system, but like maybe academia or the corrupt teacher or a corrupt judge or jury. And so these things are things, this demoralization is something that needs to be fought against. It needs to be healed from. Because then when those people, when those friends of ours, our brothers and sisters in this sense, are healed, they can, and they're no longer intellectual casualties, they make our position stronger. And so I've been talking about this for a little while, and I believe that I'm coming to the end of the subject, but I wanted to present this idea to you to add it to your lexicon. When you're looking at somebody that you know who is engaged in a trap, a mental trap, they are caught, they are mentally injured in this sense, they're intellectually injured, look at them as a casualty who is in need of recovery, not as somebody who is just to be cast aside. I know this sounds like an odd thing to say, but it's the way that we look at the world and we understand one another, where we can help one another out and do the right thing. Because ultimately, one of the things that we do want to do is we want to see our friends prosper, and that we want to be able to be thankful for their success. And so when we see somebody who's injured, this goes back to what I said on Instagram not too long ago, you can't hold people accountable if you don't have a relationship with them. And so if you want to build and you want to build a relationship worthy of this with people, I encourage you to look at people who are suffering in this sense, not as, you know, fools to be discarded in the sense, and I am guilty of doing this for sure, but as an intellectual casualty, because we can heal from these injuries. And so if this has been helpful to you, and if I can explain this more and you'll see it happen more, well, you can support us at redactedllc.com. That's where you're going to find some of our shirts and hoodies and stickers and stuff like that, as well as you can head over to redactedculture.locals.com. And that is where we can have more conversations. We have a public land cleanup coming up here pretty soon, and it looks like we're going to keep hosting those, spinning a cycle further from where we live, or at least I think that would be a really good idea. And so if you want to help us out, if you want to jump in, if you want to volunteer, if your ethos for 2024, like me, is here I am, send me, go build a community, go build those relationships, go make your friends' lives better. And if they are wounded as a intellectual casualty, look for ways to help them heal. That being the case, this has been the Redacted Culture Cast, and I will talk to you soon. Now go forth and conquer.